Thank you. we know how to come in before God in His presence and lift His name up. I appreciate the words that I heard today. What I heard was a rallying call. As Brother Smith was speaking, I heard him talking about, you know, getting God's attention. Getting Him to see, Lord, it's little old me, and I need You here today, Lord. I need a stronger touch from You, Lord. I need something to move a little bit closer to You. And I can sit back on my seat, and I can wait for God to rain it down from heaven, or I can get out here and I can lift my hands, and I can reach toward heaven, and I can pull it down today, because it's what I need. It's what I need in my soul. I was thinking about that song, Somebody Prayed For Me. You know, that's one that's always hit me deeply inside, because there was a time that I wasn't on this way again. I was not doing the things I needed to do. But I know, Sister Weiniger, I know that somebody was praying for me. I know my mom was praying for me. I know my grandmother. I know that people in this church were praying for me. And God, because of that, Brother Smith, He wouldn't leave me alone. Thank You, Lord, for not leaving me alone. And one day, sending a beautiful minister of the body of Christ to say, hey, boy, He didn't preach at me. He didn't tell me. He didn't say, hey, you know what you've been doing. You should be in here and anything like that. All I said to him was, pray for me. And then Brother Daniels had those wise words that, hey, we never stopped. We love you. Just, you know, come on home when you want to come. That's all he had to say. That's all he had to say to build that hunger and that pain inside of, you know what? Oh, I'm missing something. I'm missing something today. And only my Lord and Savior can fill it up. And I know where to go, Sister Durham, when I need that touch of the Lord. Let me tell you, I really am. It's not a false excitement. But I was just thinking about the things that he was saying today, and they were pricking my heart. They were saying, oh God, you know what? I want to get Your attention, Lord. You know, as he's walking on that water, you know, the disciples, they had to call out to him, Lord, if that be You, you know, is that You? And he turned around and said, hey, it's me. It's me. I don't want him to pass me by. I don't want him to pass me by. I don't want him to pass me by. Do you want him to pass you by? I don't. I want to say, God, I'm here. Lord, send me. Lord, I don't want to be on the backside of the desert. You know, think of the different wonderful acts of God through the Bible that would be so different if those regular people had not reached out for Him. If David had said, no, you know what, Dad, I'm too busy to go take some food to my brothers. Well, then we don't have that great story about learning about him killing Goliath. Slaying him that way, in that mighty way. Because David, where's he at? He's off doing something else. Doing his own will. Giving in to his serpent nature. If he's off doing that. But that's not what David did. Whenever his dad said, I need someone to take some food. I'll go. I'll check on the battlefront. I'll go check on my brothers. I'll go take them some food. You know what? That's what I want to do today. That's what I want to do. I want to make sure, though. You know, I want to get those 5 smooth stones. I want to listen to the ministry. I want to realize that I also am a stone. I may not be one of those 5. I may be one of those 5. It doesn't matter, though. I'm going to be in that river of life where there's other stones that as they knock those chips off my life, as they smooth me out, I want to submit to that. I want to say, God, use me, Lord, in whatever capacity, Lord. Use me today, Lord. You know, I just think about so many times, as he was saying today, you know, what can I do to get God's attention? Well, first off, the thing I need to do is I need to not be distracted. I need to have my eyes on the goal. You know, I need to be looking forward. I need to be seeing, where am I headed? What am I going toward? I have a little understanding of the goal. But if I don't keep my eyes focused on it, if I'm not ever preparing myself, if I'm not ever checking through my supplies and doing a little bit of a gut check, okay, do I have this and this taken care of? You know, we're moving by faith. But if I don't do my part, if I don't walk through those doors, I'm not going to be in this service to get what God is blessing me with. If I don't come in here and open my ears, then I'm not going to hear when the ministry speaks to us over the pulpit. If I don't have my eyes open today, then I'm not going to see the manifestation of God or what He's doing. I have a part to play. I want to lift myself up, and I want to be that sacrifice that it talks about, how it says that it's my reasonable service to be that sacrifice. And I was thinking about that. I can't remember if it was that last song or the one before it that sparked my mind in toward. Well, I was thinking about today in Bible study. we were talking about Cain and Abel. About how Cain slew Abel and Lamech and the avenging. There were some things going on there. My mind was going down some different tracks as far as the sacrifice. You know, how Cain gave one sacrifice and Abel gave another sacrifice, and how God looked on Abel's and was pleased with it and not with Cain's. And I was just thinking about that and trying to apply that to my life as far as, you know, okay, God, it may very well not have been that it was, you know, and Brother Smith can correct this or any other minister, but I'm just giving you my train of thought that I was going down. In my mind, I'm thinking about what kind of effort, and I don't just mean doing-wise, but where was Cain's heart at in relation to that sacrifice? Was it really his first fruits? Was it really something that, was he giving God the proper honor for that crop that he brought in? Or did he realize, you know what, and he could have been another aspect. I know I need to have a lamb sacrifice. And in order to get that, I may have to barter with my brother. And maybe, just maybe he was bartering with Abel. But Abel understood the value of a lamb, and maybe Cain was trying to get a better deal. Well, if I'll give you one more ear of corn for that lamb, but, you know, I'm not giving you any more. I don't know. It's not in the Bible. It's not in there. I'm just saying, just go with me down this train of thought. And Cain says, it's not worth it to me. I'll just give some fruit and vegetables to God. I don't have to present a lamb. I don't have to go that extra mile. I don't have to do that. Because you know what? Like Brother Smith was saying, I'm just going to do what I'm comfortable with. I don't know. It's not in there. I'm just saying, just follow me down that track with me a little bit. And I understand my choo-choo goes everywhere, okay? I'm just saying, though, in relation to that, it very well could have been that Cain said, I'm done. I'm not bartering with you. That lamb ain't worth it. I'll just give this. And then when he presented that to God, God knew his heart. He knew his heart in that sacrifice that it wasn't there. And that's why he accepted Abel's sacrifice and not Cain's. I don't want to do that. Whatever my sacrifice is, and I am that sacrifice. You know, a lot of times, I'm going to turn this around. I've heard it said, and I know I've said it, you know, well, Lord, one day I'd like to be able to give my life for you. And I'm thinking about it as a finality, as a dying for him. But you know what? Today, my job isn't to do that. My job is to live for him. My job is to try in my power as much as God allows me, as much as he empowers me, is to be like Christ. To be that witness to this world. Because it is. It's a dark place out there. But you know what? Just a little candle in a dark room can shed a lot of light. Look at all the candles in here today. And we are bringing a light to this world. If I'll just present myself as that light. If I'll just present myself as that sacrifice. And not when it's burning. Not when I'm like, woo, it's getting a little hot in here. Lord, help me. My problems are too rough, Lord. Pour a little water on me. I don't want to put water on my sacrifice. I want to say, Lord, burn all the flesh out of me, God. Burn everything that's me so only you can come through. God, grant that today. So if, you know, if it takes me sometimes, you know, and brother, I'll just say this, brother Durham was rolling in the word today, filling it because he was provoking his brother to good works. He was saying, "Come on, let me hear that." How would you say that? That
it's a little yell. You go, "Whoa," or whatever it is,
but
it's the Spirit.
But he was like, "Come on, let me hear that little yell." I was like, "Yell?" I mean, I didn't know what he was. But you know, I thought, you know what? I want to raise my hands. I want to praise the Lord today. I want to say, "Hallelujah! Whoa, Lord! Praise you, Lord!" Because he is worthy of all praise. He is worthy of all praise. And not just to the youth, but to the older, to the younger, to all in between. He is our God. And he is worthy to be praised. So I just wanted to get up and I wanted to do my part tonight. You know, I honestly have no idea. Maybe it won't bless anyone else. But I just feel like praying.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah!
really thought Brother Smith did a wonderful job today. I really felt like he was anointed, that that was one of those life-transforming messages. And really, really felt like God anointed him today. And he was talking about the Christmas tree in Washington. But, you know, I guess Conway is going to try to outdo Arkansas this year because they spent $120,000 to have a 54-foot artificial tree that they're getting ready to put up. And you can see it from the freeway, so they're really spreading the dog for this Christmas. And they're going to have 20,000 lights on it, so it may not be a light for Jesus, but it's a light for Christmas, I know that. But anyway, I just appreciate the Spirit of God. You know, you can come in. We used to sing that song, you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. So I don't know if we still sing that or not, but a week ago Wednesday, I didn't have such a good day. I had low energy, and I came to church feeling negative that night. And it wasn't long until I was here until I felt 100% better. So the Spirit of God, I'm thankful the way the Spirit of God comes in, that, you know, the way it works. I mean, you know, when on Sunday morning, it's like a magnet. I feel that Spirit of God that got to go to church today, and it excites me, you know. It doesn't excite my nephew. It doesn't excite my nephew's wife. It doesn't excite my sister and her husband. It doesn't excite my neighbor, but it excites me when I, on Sunday morning, that I'm going to get to go to the house of God. So it's exciting to get to come to here. And so, you know, Brother Tucker used to say, you know, they laugh at what we believe, and so we might as well laugh at what they believe. And you know, when you have the knowledge that we have, it is kind of laughable what people believe. That I ate pizza with my neighbor on a Monday night, and he's blind and 89 years old, and his niece was there last Monday night from Arizona, and her husband is in an institution. He's got frontal lobe dementia, and when she goes to see him, he doesn't even know who she is, you know. And so I was mentioning her about her husband. She said, oh, I don't worry about him. You know, she's a Baptist. He's going to heaven. So, you know, she thinks evidently he's going straight to heaven when he dies, you know. But we know better than that. I used to work with Brother Avery's cousin, and his dad is a Baptist preacher. And so he calls me on the phone, you know. We talk on the phone some, and he's always saying, Troy, come on home. Come back to the Baptist church. And I get to laughing, and he says, why are you laughing? I said, well, if you knew, had the knowledge I have, you'd realize what a ridiculous statement that is to say, come back home to the Baptist church, because I was there once, and that's not, they didn't have enough to hold me, but this place here can hold you. So, you know, a week ago, Tuesday night, it's been a long time since I watched one of those snake handling services, but on National Geographic, they had these churches in Kentucky and Tennessee. They were handling these rattlesnakes and copperheads, you know, and it's been a long time since I've seen that. But one of these so-called preachers, he said, you know, I believe that if I didn't have enough faith in God that I could handle this rattlesnake without dying, I'd die and go to hell. So, and he said, you know, we can win people to God by showing us our faith by handling rattlesnakes. Rattlesnakes, you know, and I thought, well, that's pretty far out. But anyway, I've never seen a service though before. You know, they take that scripture about if they take up serpents or drink any deadly thing. Well, I'd never heard about a church drinking deadly things, but they said two of their members drank strychnine. About 4 hours later, they fell over dead. So you know, talk about misinterpreting the scriptures. I mean, that's so ridiculous to be in, you know, to be so misled like that. But anyway, you know, I'm thankful. I'm sure I'm not the only one here that dreams about being in church service, but that's a good way to start the day. Last Sunday morning, I woke up dreaming I was in church service, and last Tuesday morning, I woke up dreaming I was in a church service, and it was a big crowd. I guess it's because our meeting's coming up, but it was really a big crowd. You know, when I got out of bed, just a chorus that we sing just spontaneously started going through my mind. And so, you know, that's an excellent way to start the day, to dream that you're going to church. But 2 weeks ago tonight, after I got in from church, I caught on C-SPAN, I caught, talking about serpents, I caught an interview with a human serpent, and they were interviewing Richard Dawkins. I guess you, most of you, have heard of him. He's a devout atheist, and he wrote that book, The God Delusion. And so the lady who was interviewing him said, "Well, what about morals? As an atheist, how do you feel about morals?" And he said, "Well, you know, he believes in right or wrong, even though he don't believe in God." He said, "Well, I want to live for my own safety. I want to live where people don't rape and murder and steal." So he doesn't believe in God, but yet he has a conception of right and wrong. And he said, "I hope my book causes other people to become atheists, you know, and that just shows how merciful God is, that he would let somebody write a book to encourage people to follow an atheist, and yet he lets them live." So we have such a wonderful thing here, and I'm just so thankful that God keeps dealing with us, you know, messages like that today, and get more of the devil out of us. So thankful for God to be here and for all you wonderful people.
I just want to stand up tonight and say how thankful I am to be here. And as I was sitting back there, I started thinking about, you know, what I've been going through and the message and the channel of the service so far. And I was thinking about what Brother Fleming said about the opportunity to be able to come to church and lift up our hands and worship and about being excited about it. And as I was sitting there, I was thinking about how that not only as teenagers, but as every individual, the trials and stuff that we go through in our daily life. And I was thinking about how that, you know, God is here for us and all that, but if we'll, whenever we make it through that door, if we'll leave our burdens there, and if we'll leave all of our baggage from our daily lives, we'll just leave it there and get our minds clear and come in here with an open heart and try to get spiritual and come in here and, you know, get a hold of somebody. And, you know, this is, I've always been taught that this is a force, you know, this as a church, as we all come together, we're like a team of horses, and we're all trying to push together and, you know, strive for that ultimate goal. And if we'll hook up beside each other, beside our brothers and beside our sisters, and work together as one, we'll ultimately make our goal. And that's really the only thing I've had on my mind so far, is just that, you know, to try and relieve our minds of anything carnal or worldly that we go through, and just leave it outside beside your car, and come in here with a spiritual mind and open and ready to receive what God has to give us. Because if we're not open, we're never going to receive it, because we're not ready, we're not listening. But if we'll leave that there and we're ready to listen and be a part of something greater than just ourselves, then God will bless us, and he'll help us get what we need, not just for ourselves but as a church, and help us get to our ultimate goal. And I'm just so thankful for everybody.
Good. Praise God. Well, I just want to say how thankful I am to be here tonight. And it's always a blessing coming in the house of the Lord and seeing his saints, you know, worshiping with them. And I got to have the chance of going to Justin Beck's wedding, and Godfrey's one of my best friends, known him for a long time. You know, that really does your heart good, going to a different church like that, you know, seeing all your friends, different people. You know, you stay in one town, that's true with anything. You stay in one place, you kind of lose, you know, perception on everything. You know, you stay in Little Rock, you start thinking, okay, the band is the same, the church is the same. When you take a step back, you kind of see, you know what, there's more to this than just Little Rock. I mean, this is a body, and it's a body all over the place. I mean, having Brother Cyprian here, you know, from the Dominican Republic, you know, even his wedding, you know, having people from Wichita, Kansas, Godfrey, Illinois, Houston, Texas, Maine. I mean, who lives in Maine? I mean, that's a terrible state. But, you know, just seeing all these places in the body of Christ, you know, where people come together, you know, we all serving in one accord. I was starting to think, you know, if you want to test your patience, you try being in a wedding with six groomsmen and six bridesmaids. That will test your patience. But one thing, you know, you kind of get to watch people. You're sitting out in the foyer, you're kind of watching. One of the little kids was sitting there, and he was just tugging on his daddy's legs, tugging on his daddy's leg, pant leg. Just, you know, I mean, that's why I don't have any kids. You know, most parents are kind of like, okay, just tugging on my leg, whatever. And just kept tugging. You know, a real persistent little booger. And just kept tugging. And finally, dad said, look, dad said, what do you want? And he said, I just want a drink of water. Just lift me up and get me a drink of water. And so he lifted up that kid and got me a drink of water. He got him a drink of water. But it got me to thinking, is this, how, that's how we need to be persistent. You know, we always think we need to come walking into church and get a blessing. And one thing that I've been blessed by, but see, John being here, seeing how he starts the service, is just really pulling on God's heart. I want to do that tonight. I want to pull on God's pant leg and try to bring in the rain. You know what Justice was saying? You know, we come in here, we drop our burdens at the door. You know, just try to come in with a full heart. You know, we've had a garden before. You know, if you don't till up the soil, it can rain all day long. You can plant seeds, but it ain't going to take root. I want to, when I walk into this room, I want my heart to be tilled up. That when that rain does come, I can take root. And you know, we can take have a full burden of this and know what's going on. I'm thankful for that burden. I'm thankful for that. You know, when I come in the walk-in, I go down walking down the street, some of my friends, oh, let's go do that, and thinking, I can't do that. I'm a child of the King. I can't be seen doing that. You know, that you got to have that perception in your mind saying, I can't do that. I'm a child of the King. And it just really does my heart good just being here and just being the body. Like I said, what I had on mind was I was thinking about Job and long-suffering and things like that. And we started off with somebody prayed for me. I was thinking, that don't really fit. I mean, it's kind of upbeat, so I kind of put off the long-suffering, so I'm kind of winging it here. But, you know, I'm just thankful that I'm in the body of Christ. I'm thankful that, you know, no matter what we can do, is that that's one thing I need to work on, too. And Brother Cipriano is really teaching me, you know. Brother Cipriano, you don't say anything else from being here. You getting up and really pulling on God during service, that really does my heart. I want to do that. I want to raise my hands, and I want to get my heart tilled up and really pull on the pant legs of God and bring in the water, you know. I heard that old story, you know, if you ain't ripe and you ain't green and growing, you're ripe and wrong. I don't want to die on the vine here now. I want to keep on growing in this. You know, I want to have this. I started thinking about having a servant's heart. You know, Phil was talking about, you know, having a heart. You know, I started thinking, you know, when Eleazar was looking for a bride, what kind of woman was he looking for? He was looking for a woman who was willing to work. I want to have that heart here. I want to have a servant's heart. You know, no matter what you want me to do, I want to try to help this church. I want to try to edify the name of God. I don't care what it's doing. I want to try and do something. I want to have that servant's heart. And like I said, I didn't really have much to say. I just want to get up and say something. And if you ain't got nothing else to say, you just got to say, I'm thankful to be here. I want to thank Brother Smith for the opportunity for giving us the youth services downstairs. And I really think, you know, people starting to move out a little bit. And I'd like to see that a little bit tonight. You know, that's kind of what we wanted to do. You know, kind of people kind of work their way into. You know, people get up in youth service downstairs. You know, when people really start getting more comfortable and talking about what God's done for them in church. I mean, I have no idea what kind of good you do until you get up. Now, even just say, get up and say, I'm just thankful to be here. It does my heart good to see some people, anybody get up and say that. You're taking a part. You're shouldering the load. You're being a pillar in the house of God, and that really edifies God. I'm thankful to be here tonight.
I just want to share something with you guys. As everybody knows, I haven't been here in a while. But I believe the Lord leads you to certain places sometimes for a reason. So I went out, and I've been going down to this other church down the street. And I've been talking to people there at the church. And, of course, the Lord led me back here tonight, which is great. So, but I ended up talking to this lady. She was renting a room. And I just moved and I rented another room. I was talking to her, and she was telling me she was having some problems. And she believes in Jesus, but she hasn't been going to church. Her husband died a couple years ago. And so she has this thing where a lot of people have this thing where they think God's at fault. You know, a lot of things is that when people do that is, you know, Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy, right? So what he does, he comes in and he tries to steal our faith. He tries to steal something we got by something, taking something from somebody else. So that's what we got to do. But those that overcome, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So what I was going to share with you guys tonight, I was talking to her, and I didn't even know her. I just was talking to her on the phone, and she said something. She said, "I ain't been out in a while." I said, "Okay, I'll take you out." I ended up taking her to Texas Roadhouse. Just met her there. I'd never even met her before in my life. Started talking to her about Jesus. And she started crying in the restaurant. See, now this is exactly what our brothers was talking about. Your heart has to be open. Amen to that. So what happened was, I'm talking to her. She's having a heck of a time. She's having financial problems. And I told her, "I'm going to be praying for you." A couple days go by. She called me a couple days ago. She says, "You wouldn't believe what happened." And I said, "Well, I believe. So she called me and said, she drives taxi. She said, "I made $400 in one night." She ain't never made $400 in one night. And she told me this. She said, "You know, if it wasn't for you when I was going through that hard time, I don't know what I would have done." And I said, "Listen, let's give all the glory to Jesus. I take no glory for myself." Because that's how he works. He leads us to people. Bring the lost sheep back into the fold. Amen. So now, I ain't even talked to her after this, but I just wanted to share that with you guys, because I believe if you ain't got love, you ain't got anything. So I believe loving your neighbor is very important, even if you don't even know him. So I just want to share that with you guys. Jesus Christ, he loves you guys. Amen.
Hear your voice calling me, is drawing me closer to the place I know I should be. Lord, forgive me, I finally confess I've been wrong. I've held on to my selfish will way too. That's what I'll do. finally confess I've been wrong. I've held on to my selfish will way too long. Take all.
Take all.
my heart. Here's my
That was good. It was good. Glad to see y'all get up and sing. Y'all need to do that more often. It's good. It does, along with Zach, it does me good to see people that don't usually stand up and express themselves, sing a song or something, even if it's just a testimony. I'm just glad for the spirit we feel here today and all the thoughts that's been given, and it's just... It's very uplifting to come in and get a refresher and, you know, hear everybody else's thoughts of where they're at and how they've overcome and gotten over things. And the spirit just washes the stress away, and had a thought through my mind recently that the new, I don't know, I've been thinking a lot about just, you know, people that follow a crowd or they get caught up in the mainstream of, well, everybody's doing something, then isn't that's the way I should do it too. And I came up with the thought that if everybody's being original and we're all original in the same way, is anybody really original anymore? So, and it just did made me think that not to stand with a crowd, but to go against some of the social norms, but not do it in an attacking way. And you have to kind of... I had all this together, believe it or not, at one point. I was thinking stand against the crowd that was the world, but then I got to thinking, now maybe we should stand with the crowd that's in the church instead,
instead of thinking at it from an objective point of view of stand against and fight something, maybe we should stand and defend something instead. Maybe we should stand and defend the principles we have here, stand and defend the people that, you know, they may only stand up every once in a while, but follow less exile and separate ourselves from a crowd, but join a group in the church. I don't mean that in a global, I don't mean join a group as, I hate to say, like a secular religious as it sounds, but stand with the church as its own group and look at things from a different perspective, less from an attack and destroy, but from a defend and build, because oftentimes I notice that when I'm out doing something and I'm trying to accomplish something and I devote all my effort to it, that I tend to hyper-focus and will get so focused on fixing something that we'll forget to keep and repair certain things that are already in place. You know, when I was first building my truck, I was so intent on fixing up the outside and painting it and all that, and I was putting all my focus into that, that I let all the other parts of it just decay and go by the wayside, and I didn't keep them up, you know. I just wanted it to look pretty, never mind the fact that it couldn't run and pull out the driveway. Which kind of defeats the purpose. So you have to find the things that are important and work towards it while still maintaining. And it's not an easy thing to do. I mean, I juggle two jobs, college and church. It's not easy, but I have to keep, and I can't hyper-focus on one thing, else I'll fall short in somewhere else. And that's the way it is with our walking God, you know. We can't focus too much on one thing. We can't be distracted by too much, and it takes a balance of everything. And it's something that's difficult to achieve that really only God can help us do with time and effort. And I just want to learn to have a balanced opinion on things. And something, too, I found it funny. I was talking to a person, and I said something. I don't even remember what it was, but they just wrote off the whole thing instantly because of it. But look at something and have, I don't want to, let's see here, not necessarily an objective point of view, but hold firm to your beliefs. But if it's something that you can take in and it will help you and learn, then do so cautiously. But if it's something that is wrong, just, what I'm trying to say is we should be firm and steadfast in who we are and what we believe while still having an open mind to accept different ideas that don't change the foundations we were built upon. Because if we don't look at new ideas, or we don't try and, you know, bounce things off a wall, we'll never know and we'll never progress. We'll just eventually become stagnant, because if we always do what we've always done, we'll always be what we've always been. And if we always say and we always march with and we always take our same group and we always march in the same direction, we'll just keep circling that one giant mountain. Eventually we're going to have to figure out a different direction, and that can apply on pretty much any scale you want to put it. If you want to put it in a business scale or on a business application, you know, they have whole departments devoted to research and development. Why? To come up with new ideas and to gain deeper insight and understanding into what they already know, to perfect something. And that's something that we have to do as a church and in our own individual lives, that just comes through experience, time, learning, and God revealing things to us. But it's important, too, to always know where your center is, because I know oftentimes people, they'll get so caught up in, they'll discover something new and it's great and everything, or something will hit them, if you want to look at it in a more negative light, they'll go through a trial and it'll knock them slightly off center, and eventually their center will move and it's not what it was, and eventually they'll start here and they'll end up way over there. So, I guess I'm just trying to say, have a balance of trying to move forward but still know who and where you are, and don't lose the center of your life, which should be God and church at all times. If that shifts, then it's just going to keep shifting, because it's momentum is a funny thing. Once it starts, it's incredibly hard to stop. I discovered that in my diesel engines class, because we have our engines up on this giant engine stand, and we tilt them up, and we have to spin them to get them back upside down so we can flip them back over. Well, one person wasn't paying attention, and there's a little safety pin that stops it. He got to spinning. That thing did 3 full rotations before 4 of us managed to get it stopped. And it wasn't spinning very fast. It was fairly slow, but there was just so much weight and momentum and force behind it. And that's kind of the way people and ideas are. You know, it may take a little bit for it to make that full circle, but if it has enough weight and pressure behind it, it's hard to get stopped. So, but see, it was necessary for us to have to move it. We just had to be careful how much we did move it, else we were in a predicament. So I just wanted to say I'm thankful for the Spirit and for the blessings and the insight God has given me in my life, and I just want to be able to move forward in the right amounts when God's ready for me to move.
To say that I'm really thankful for the blessings of God, the things that He's blessed me with. And I mean, we don't normally see, when I've heard it from a preacher before, that we don't normally see the little things in life that God blesses us with. Most people that's having a financial problem, they'll see a penny on the ground and you don't think about it being a blessing from God, but pennies add up from dollars. And the preacher, his name was Brother Chadwell, and he was like, he heard it from another preacher, and that when that preacher found the penny on the ground, he would pick it up wherever he may be and hold that penny or whatever coin it may be up in the air and tell God, thank you for your supernatural blessings. And he would do a dance right there in front of God and everybody. And I'm just really thankful that, you know, he gives us blessings. He gives us second chances. He don't hold nothing against us. And most people, they want to judge people by, well, you know, you used to do such and such. But people don't see the worth of a soul. God uses anybody. We're chosen vessels. We're not somebody that He can use anybody. A drug addict, a person that's came from a broken home, of a mama that used to do drugs, or a daddy that's out, has a major alcohol problem. But when you get in church, you can see the changes in your family of what happens in your life that helps your family. You can witness to anybody. And I'm just really thankful that God gives us that chance.
Appreciate the Lord tonight and the service. I'm not going to do the typical thing. Well, I'm not a youth. I think we all know my age. appreciate the spirit, and I appreciate the good words, of course, and thought-provoking. I'd like to ask the youth in particular, what do you stand for? Everybody knows that Christians stand against something. It seems like we are always so much standing against something as a nation of Christians. But what are we actually standing for? Do you stand for stealing? You can speak up. I mean, it's just us. Let me add this first. I do enjoy our youth. Something I've taught my kids is don't ever tell me something you think I want to hear. Tell me what's on your mind. Okay? And I appreciate that our youth feel free enough to express their heart. Sometimes I set my kids down. I've done it today. And said, tell me something that you feel I need to change in my life. I believe that that we should always be endeavoring to grow up, so to speak, and to not become too entrenched. Entrenchment is something that affects us at all ages of our life. We don't realize it so much as a youth, but as we get older, we become so entrenched. I want to talk just a second about what we need to stand for. Need to stand for principles. I think Jaron said that, and Brother Zach touched on that. And we need to stand for those things. Those are good things to stand for. But what principle? There's lots of different principles. What morals? Well, there's varying degrees of morality, believe it or not. Everybody don't agree with the same stance on certain morals. Well, how are your standards on morals? How low are your standards on morals? How far are you willing to push the boundary? I thought Jaron gave a good thought there on being steadfast and knowing our sinner, but do you really know your sinner? The world is constantly buffeting us and telling us to move our boundaries. And we're constantly find ourselves kind of like a boxing match and put on the ropes. And it happens as you get older too. You're confronted with things that challenge you to stand and locate your sinner. And without locating that center, then you're constantly moved back around and back and forth. And that happens in the ministry, and it happens as adults. It happens in religions. I've been visiting churches, and there's lots of different thoughts out there and religiologies out there and ideologies out there and thoughts and concepts and different things that people are striving to maintain and striving to get to. That they're seeking. The funny thing is they're seeking the same thing we're seeking, which is to make, as Sister Janet used to be in our home assembly in Wilburton, she used to get up and say the same thing. She was old. She's a little bit off her rocker. And she lived her whole life in a nursing home. Her family just abandoned her there. And she'd never seen her kids in years and years and years. And our church pretty much took care of her and brought her to church. And she'd always stand up and say the same thing. I'm glad to be here tonight, filled with the Holy Ghost, and I won't make heaven my home. That was the scope of her ability to reach. And every time Sister Janet stood to her feet, I guess you can tell we learned to know what she was going to say. And it's careful. We have to be careful as adults and as family, especially as a parent, to not move the boundaries too far. To not move our fences too much. To not put too much questions out there in our families. To keep their mind in turmoil. The church should be a place that we come to that has solidity to it. But yet should have the ability to expand as God moves us forward. That sounds kind of counterproductive to itself, doesn't it? We should know our center, be steadfast and immovable, but be able to expand on that. Wow. How is that going to happen? When Jesus went to, one thing about expansion, that even when Jesus came to his churches in his day, Hebrews here in Hebrews 13th chapter, it makes this statement that he went to those, or he was one that was outside the camp. He wasn't part of the mainstay of that day. He didn't put himself with all that version of what people done. He worked on the outside of it, but he never did, to my understanding, and be it what it is, he didn't disannul it or do away with it. He expanded upon it. You think I'm here to do away with the law? No, I'm here to fulfill the law. I'm here to establish what you've been saying all these years. That was expansion. But yet at the same time, it was the maintaining of what he had put in them. But it expanded it. You want to look at the way I'm looking at it. You want to bring it the opposite way and say, well, he brought all this expansion of law and stuff, and he put it into one little part. And Hebrews tells us to not be not to be thrown by and carried about with divers and strange doctrines. And there's lots of voices in the land, and there's lots of things, and our friends and our ungodly friends. And yeah, we have them. We all have them. Everybody in here has somebody that they associate on some level of friendship that is ungodly. I want to ask you, do you just always tell that person what you're against, or you just live your life so they know what you're for? Do we live a good enough life, and do we get it? And people talk about change. I want to change. We need to change. My God, there's got to be some changes. The whole world right now is in a tumultuous place of change. I got to have change. A thought was given to me several years ago. I will say this. I don't know that anybody, when we say we have a life-changing moment, really believes they have a life-changing moment. The only life-changing moment I ever had, believe it or not, was when I got saved. I never had another one since. I've had a couple of near-death experiences. It changed me. I guarantee it changed me. Got electrocuted once. That shocked me into awareness. That woke me up, jolted me. You get 110 volts running through both of your arms, and you're down on a metal floor on a drilling rig, and it's shorting out, and it's arcing between your knees, and I'm down on this floor, and I got burned places through my clothes into my knees. My hands were getting burned up. It's raining. This is a bad deal, ain't it? This goes against the very fabric of everything that you ever taught as a child. Don't lick your finger and put it in the socket. But I did it. I had a life-changing moment. From there on, whenever I grab an extension cord, I look at it to this day. That was one thing. It was something that was just momentarily. But there was a life-changing moment, I guess. When you got saved, was a life-changing moment, because you're still here. You're still striving for the bride. That's not a movable target. It's still the same target. The only thing that moves is I move in that target. Is I move. The target doesn't ever change. Living a life for Christ, as Brother Phil says, is not, I don't want to just die for him. That was something that used to be told to me all the time. I don't want to, you know, it's not about dying for Christ, it's about living for him. We're not talking about dying here, we're talking about living. And in standing for something, you'll find yourself being in defense of it. Because people will automatically know that that you have a belief system in place. That you stand firm, because you're not going to bend, break, or bow to the spirit that's in them. And you don't have to do anything extraordinary. You don't have to walk around and do anything weird. You don't have to say it all the time. You just got to live for Christ. You just got to be what you are. You got to allow these morals and these principles that the ministry puts out to stay in place. And so not to be carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which not profited them. This is in Hebrews 13:9. Oh, you got it up there. You're quick. Thank you. Is that Sister Joanne? We have an altar whereof they are of no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle for the bodies of those beasts. And he goes on down through here. Then in 13 it says, let us go forth unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuous city, but we seek one to come. And that's what we're seeking. We're seeking for the next evolution of this. And you are that next evolution of this. There was a big time in the United States in 1960s. It was a very, very bad time, much like today. Change was a topic of the day back then. The reason to change was the topic of the day back then, and I have to figure out who's in that bracket. I think Brother Tally's in that bracket. I was talking to him about this earlier. But is in that age bracket is because they didn't have any answers given to them whenever they were children. But they grew up not being given any direct answers. They were given instructions and plenty of them. And so when they became old enough to go find those answers, that's what they done, and they spread out across our country and started finding the answers that they always had the questions to. The problem was that they was led about by their own desires to find that answer. And that was the change that they represented. It was a very different time for our country. I was born at the end of that, 1970. Those very people are the people that are running the show nowadays. I'm not speaking evil of government. It may sound that way. I sure don't mean it to be. But in here, you're given answers. I'm given answers. I have questions. And God allows me to find answers. But it's not an answer that is always something I want to hear. It's something that does help me. And in the body of Christ and in serving God, we find that we come up short lots of times. And sometimes we allow that to denigrate or downgrade our feelings and worship towards God. I want to ask you today, are you tired of being a spectator? Serving God ain't a spectator sport. It's not. Tell yourself, I'm not a spectator. I'm sick of being a spectator. I don't have enough authority to be a dictator. So I'll have to do something. I want to be, this is going to grab my wife, just fixing to chap her, but this I'm going to say it anyway. I'm going to be a sweet tater. She gripes at us boys because we say tater. And I don't eat tomatoes, but if I did, I'd call them maters. But she always says those are potatoes. Then Justice told her one day, said, well, Mom, why do they call them tater tots? Because potato tots don't sound good. And so as those people grew up in that time frame and they went seeking answers, they burned flags, they sewed them to their britches, they made coats out of them, and they denigrated any form of authority, and they resisted, I mean to the utmost, any form of authority. They protested and they burnt cities nearly, and there was mass rioting and all those things because that was human nature cut loose on itself trying to find answers that they couldn't find. So they developed what we now have as our society. And if we're not careful, we will be in here and we'll be young people and we will have these things churning in us, these questions in us, seeking and trying, you know, how can I find this answer? God, why won't you give me a husband? God, why won't you give me a girl? God, why won't you help me with this? And why won't you help me with that? As if we make ourselves to a certain level of something, that he will just automatically give it to us without even the consideration that might not be what he wants for us. But as Brother Smith said today, and it was a good thought, I thought he did really good today. He actually probably deserves a good hand clap for it. I thought Bible study was great, not because I asked the question, because I thought he gave a great answer for it. That's actually a question that I was asking Bible study out in a church I was at the other day, and your answer was way far and beyond what that poor man had to say about it. But because he said that we are afraid, I guess you say everything he said today sums up to this for me. Because we are afraid, be it young or small, young or old, that if we yield ourselves to the Lord, his desire for our life may take us someplace that we don't want to go. His desire for us is different than our desire for us. Our desire for us is always temporal. It's always earthly, because that's what we are. It's always more about comfort. It's always more about how can I have it on easy street? How can I achieve this? What goals do I have for myself? Whereas his desire for us is really just quite simple. I want you to be an overcomer. Now, that sounds simple, don't it? I want us to go to Ephesians, the third chapter. Tell you that God has got lots of things for you. But we are. Has anybody ever watched that movie, The Last Samurai? Most people's probably watched that movie, The Last Samurai. And in there, and there's one of those scenes, and the guy's he's out there practicing, and this little baby young man, Chinese warrior guy, samurai to be, comes up to him, and he tells this main character, Tom Cruise, he says, "You have too many minds." He said, "What? Too many minds?" Because that don't compute with us. But we can have too many minds. Our minds can be over here on our car. Our minds can be over here on our job. Our mind can be over here on my home improvement section. My home can be over here on the, I've got this over here. I got to deal with the church, and I got to take care of that business, and I've got to deal with this over here, and I've got this employee at work that's just razzing me every day, just wears me out. And I've got, you know, and well, y'all probably don't have that. Mama's gotten on to me, and Dad's gotten on to me, and I don't, you know, I wanted to make this cake, this my first banana pie. I wanted to make it for Dad so he'd be so proud for me, but I put too much salt in it, and, you know, I knew he ate it, but it was horrible. I feel horrible. I ain't got any daughters, and I doubt my sons are going to do that for me because I don't like bananas anyway, but lemon. Y'all want to try that? Make it a lemon pie. Your parents are satisfied with the attempt. If any man in here has a daughter, I guess Brother Nathan Painter's got most of them, three of them. Brother Fred Stewart's got one. Keith Dawson's got one. Brother Jerry York's, wherever he is. Y'all've got three. And I get them all. Brother Brett's got one. You've got two. One daughter. Oh, you do, don't you? I sat here thinking, I didn't see her, and I was thinking they're two boys. I thought, has he got a daughter? Brother Phil Fisher, yeah. I don't want to miss any. Brother Durham. Brother Matthew Durham. You see how much I pay attention, don't you? I can tell you all the men in church, I just can't tell you your families. I don't have one. Michael and Cindy. But if any time they're in their developmental stage, if they would have decided to, I stepped too close to it, you don't need, if they would have decided to make you a cake, regardless of the outcome of that cake, you would have been happy to try to eat it. Wouldn't you? You wouldn't have cared. You wouldn't have cared that they put happy birthday on there and it looked like turkey tracks through there. You wouldn't have mattered that the, what's it called, a bun cake that falls in, sometimes they, I've seen it on TV. They open the oven, the cake will collapse on itself. Is that a bun cake? What? Souffle. You know, you wouldn't have cared that they opened the oven and the cake fell in on itself and it was all flat. It's more like a, I'm doing it again, ain't it? That wouldn't have bothered us. You? Mon? Yeah. But you would have told them, good job, girl. That was wonderful. You might would have told Mom, hey, you need to get your daughter out. Help her a little more. Teach her to read instructions. I can attest that Brother Smith was giving us his version of how a woman thinks. I will say this for the women folk. I applaud you if you're a good cook. I feel for you if you're a horrible one. Okay? Because I'm trying to cook. And I'm a horrible cook. I made this thing the other night, and I didn't realize when it said frozen that you're supposed to put it all in the same pan together. Because in my mind, it's not ready. So I cooked it all, and then I put it all in a pan, and then cooked it all again in the oven. So Jody showed up midstream, and she said, what are you doing? I said, well, I got the broccoli cooking, corn's cooking. I'm going to throw it all in this pan and cook it in the oven. She said, well, you're supposed to put all that in the pan and just cook it in the oven. So I don't, you know, I had to learn. And I ain't going to tell you about my enchiladas. They were good, but cayenne pepper pulled them out. Do you know that God is happy with just nearly any form of worship we can do? The Bible says to leap for joy. It doesn't say to get joy and then decide to start leaping. But to leap for joy, that is a spontaneous movement that is forced against your nature. You don't believe me? That is something that binds and breaks our nature to get us to start moving. God is happy with that. Because it's in that movement and in that originality and in that spontaneity, even if it is, I don't know what word to use. I guess we could use the word mechanical to some extent. Lightly. But even in that, that is what starts priming the pump. And if we sit and wait for the water to fall before we ever do anything, there's not very much ever going to be happening. It takes that first step. And God wants, He wants us to be blessed. I truly believe that. I don't believe God wants anybody to live a life of suffrage today. This may sound like TV evangelism, fixing to hit you. But I don't believe God wants us to live in a minimalistic life. I think He wants you to have the very best that you can have on this planet, if it will propel you to do your very best in the kingdom of heaven. I would that you prosper even as your soul prospers. And in Ephesians, the third chapter, he makes this statement. And this here is really the key to the chapter. Paul starts talking about being a prisoner for Christ and all these things. He says, verse 14, says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might in his spirit in the inner man. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, that you would be strengthened with the power of might in your inner man." That is that very center. That ain't a peripheral. That is the very center of our life, is our inner man. I like the thought of perfecting the inner man. It's what we're supposed to be. He's supposed to grow up and mature. You ever seen a little baby that you ever seen a? It's a sad thing. To me, one of the worst illnesses a person can have is a mental illness. Man, we can get over missing limbs and broke fingers and bad toes and wiped out knees and missing legs and no legs. Now, we can get over all that stuff. The humans can adapt to many, many things. But when you have something wrong with your mind, you cannot adapt. There's something wrong with the control center of it all. And to me, that's the worst of all illnesses to have. And it's in our core that we are seeking that glorification, that maturation, is that the right word? The maturity of us. And to not be moved about too much. It's going to happen. I got out of my truck today and I had my sunshades on and I looked at myself in my truck and I said, "My goodness, Pryor, you're an old man trying to be cool." Bet I'm not the only one. I don't know anybody else, though. Well, I know a few. None in here. I do know a few. I talked to a couple of them last weekend. Strengthening our inner man is a process that we have to go through. He says here that Christ, this is a continuation of the previous scripture because that's a semicolon in front of it, ain't it? Right there at the end of man, is that a semicolon? Doesn't that mean that it's actually attached to the following statement in the modern day English? He says that he would grant, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Comma, maybe, boy, that's quite a statement. I think that's commas where he had to stop to catch a breath. Comma, may be able to comprehend with all the saints.
And I believe that's not just us in here, or us in the Dominican, or us in the Philippines, or us on planet Earth right now. I think that's all the saints of God who have reached an overcoming life, who have reached a place of full development in their life, may be able to comprehend what they went through and what they developed. What is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height? That's four different dimensions, is it not? Usually things are in 3D, but Christ is in 4D. And to know the love of Christ, my Lord, there's another semicolon, ain't it? And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all fullness, with all the fullness of God. Period. That is quite a mouthful, is it not? Would you let me read it all without the commas and stuff? That he would grant unto you according to the riches of his glory. And just think about this. To be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what a thought. And all of that has to do with us as people, but it all started on a developmental stage as young people. I was a young person. Everybody in here was young. If you're in this room and you're past young, at one day you were young. It's just a fact. We may have forgot about what it was like to be young, and different generations have different versions of youth. Brother Smith looks at our version of youth and looks at my kids, and he thinks, my Lord, I'd have beat you to death if you was mine. And he probably would have. I guess he thinks that. I don't know. He may think I'd beat you to death. I'd just like to, whew. My pastor one time told me, he said, what you need is a good whipping. I said, if you think it'll help, let's do it. No. I watched him beat a horse one time. I'm glad he didn't. I was willing. If I thought it would have helped, it probably wouldn't help none. It probably just made me sore and mad. Clean my eyes out. And my generation looks at the current generation and says, whew, man, them guys got a job. Because if I, as a middle-aged man, have to defend my position, and I have to put myself out there, what more does these young people who really are very vulnerable have to do? And the coping mechanisms that they are required to use to exist in today's world may be different than what I had to use in my time. Because the world is a whole lot different place. The majority of our problems in our families, in the majority of our problems stems from too much knowledge. As Brother Smith said today, you got the whole world in the palm of your hand, and you are. You're like Jesus. You got the whole world of knowledge in the palm of your hand. Every one of us have got a smartphone that's smarter than me. Smarter than you, really, if you just get right down to it. It's a smartphone. And they figured out ways of tracing all that stuff. And how many text use. I got an app where I can track my kids' texting. I know who they're texting, how long they're texting. If there's 500 texts, 300 texts, if there's 2,012 texts to one number, I want to know who that was. Because it wasn't my number and it wasn't their mama. So I call the number up and I say, hey, this is... No, I don't. That's a quick way to ruin relationships in the house. But this... And I got an app. With the same app, I can turn their phone off during church. The only people they can get texts from is me and mom. If you have Verizon, I'll give you the app. I'll forward it to you. I can do that right now. Everybody at the same time. What a wonderful, wow. Sometimes I'm afraid if God needs our attention, the best way he can get our attention is to text us. God, if you need me, you can reach me between the hours of 7 and 10. And please send a text. with the exclamation point on the back of it. And I'll be sure to get that one quick. If that don't work, email me and it will alert me that you're needing something. Whatever you need, God, I'm going to answer it. I promise, because you're God. And I know if I do that, you're going to give me what I need. Yeah, I'll challenge a parent this. Go to the restaurant and tell your family, say, throw all your phones in the car and let's go eat. You will find that you'll sit there 10 minutes trying to figure out what to talk about. And then you'll have good conversation. It was a good conversation. Now, let's finish the thought. Now unto him, and that ain't me, boys, that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that what? Worketh in us. The power to achieve the blessings of God is in you. It's not something he's got to do. He's already done it. He's already give you that power. Unto him be what? Glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's read that again. Let's all read it together, and I promise I'll walk away from this. Verse 20. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Now, unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. It is in you. The power to stand your ground is already there. Oh, took off the wrong thing.
I was going to be suave and pull it off and walk away, but it didn't work. How funny. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Well, we haven't ever had a youth meeting, youth service yet that, you know, the Lord didn't touch us in some way that I think was special. I mean, they might all not be runaways, but it always feel like the Lord touches us in some way, and it's always good provoking thoughts, and I appreciated every word that was said tonight, and the songs. That's why it shows me we need our young people to be active, because I can see that young people respond to young people. And, you know, we need y'all. We need y'all's help. We need your help to keep the youth inspired and stirred up. And it inspires whatever youth is left in us. Brother Weininger and I were kind of bobbing up and down tonight during the song service. And we was acknowledging that when you get a little older, you wish you'd have danced more when you could dance. You know, I can still dance a little bit sometimes, but depends on if my back's hurting, my hip's out. You know, if I can stand it, if I can stand the pain sometimes. But when I used to really enjoy dancing more for the Lord. And so I want to encourage you young people. I'll jump, I'll do something, I'll wiggle with you if you'll just inspire, help me and get me inspired. Bump our cane against the floor. Brother Foster said that. Brother James, it's good to have you tonight with us. We appreciated you sharing your part here tonight. And Sister Summer, appreciated your words. I'm one of those guys that I can't leave a penny on the ground. My mama, every time I see one, my mama, her words come back to me. She said, every one of those you collect, that you'll have, you know, before long you'll have a dollar. Before long you'll have $2. You know, pick it. Don't let, you know, I realize that little copper piece isn't worth much anymore, but I still can't just leave it laying there. I will sometimes. I do put it in a little bowl at the checkout sometimes. There's two or three of them I have. I put them in there. Because I reach in there and get them, you know, to when I don't have them. So I try to give it back, you know, so somebody else can get them. But I do appreciate, you know, brother, I'll tell you this little short story. Just keep standing up. We're going to go home. Brother Patton said one time he was down in the Mully Grubs and he was complaining to God, you know, about how he didn't have any money for groceries, and he was just talking to God, walking down the sidewalk. He said, you know, he said, you ever saw one of those little, in the hot summertime, just a little whirlwind, you know, they're just about that big around. They just come out of nowhere and just blow a little ways and then they're gone. You seen those? He said, one of them, while he was complaining, one of those stirred up right beside him and blowed into a little bush right in front of him and blew a $20 bill out of that bush right in front of him. And God said, you don't think I can take care of you? He said, boy, I reached down and picked up that $20 and started repenting to God. Well, Brother Pryor's words inspired me too tonight. You know, I know we preach. Sometimes I worry about preaching a restored church and that we're not there yet. Let me tell you something. I think there's more power of God available today than we can stand if we can tap into it. I believe it's available. And I think we ought to try to live to achieve everything that God will let us achieve. And become a part of everything He'll let us become a part of that's in His power, in the operation of the Holy Ghost. And so, lift up your Let's let these things challenge us to lift up our heads a little bit and maybe push some things away. Why don't you try that this week? Push the television back. Turn it off. Get your Bible out. Talk to your wife about God and Jesus. Get down and pray together a little bit if you haven't done that lately. And give God some extra time and watch Him come close to you. Watch Him get near to you. We're fixing to have a meeting. It's a good time to shore up some things in our lives. See what God will do. I'd like to woo the Lord a little bit this week. To get Him to come in our midst and help us. Help our ministry. Go back to their home assemblies. I don't know exactly what God has for this meeting, but I hope everyone that comes to it will go home a different way. And that God will help them to help their people and their assemblies. And that it'll change our lives. Brother Pryor, I don't know how many of y'all's life-changing experiences you've had. How did you say that? That there, you only had one or two? I've had two or three myself. When I married my wife, I promise you that was life-changing. And when that boy come, it was another one. It changed my life. And, of course, the Lord's coming into my life was the greatest life-changing experience I ever had. That's for sure. So, I hope we can have some more of them. You know, I know the Lord. It's going to take God to help us. I know that, but I do think we're to hold on to this thought that we can do something. We can do something that'll get God's attention. And reach out to Him, and He'll reach back to us. Hallelujah. Let's give Him a praise before we go home tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, precious Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God, precious Lord, we give You praise, Lord. Help us tonight, oh God. Touch our young people, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, go with us this week. Oh, Jesus. God, let us take these good things and inspirations with us this week. Meditate and put them into practice. Help us draw near to You, oh God. Amen, amen. All right, shake hands and be friendly. Brother Calderon, do I need to make any announcements? Youth night, Friday night, what time? 7 o'clock in the dining room. And I was going to tell you, Brother Calderon's flying in. We have to pick him up at the airport at 8:30. And he'll be some of the brethren. If you're not working this week and you can help some, well, I'm sure they could use maybe some help in retiling the foyer out there. I don't know if they have time. We may get to work on the bathrooms, but I don't want to push it. You know, if we can just get the foyer and the hallways done, that'll be good for the meeting. He's going to stay a week after. Maybe we can get on the bathrooms then. But anyway, shake hands and be friendly. I'll see you Wednesday night, 7 o'clock prayer meeting. 7. If you hadn't ever come to prayer meeting, why don't you try it? Pray about 7:20, 7:25. And then we have service at 7:30. Good night.